Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chattanooga, or however you say their name.
Stream the show live on ESPNLincoln.com. Now, back to the show.
I drink a Boost for breakfast, an Ensure for dessert. Somebody order pancakes, I just sip the scissor.
Welcome back into Greg Ethan Hooks on Lincoln Sports Authority, ESPN FM 101.5, 1480. We're sitting here. I think both of us just crushed our burgers while we were on break. That's how hungry we were. Sid, those were good, Hooksy.
Oh, my gosh,
those were really
perfect.
Good job, sir.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, I appreciate it. You made up for forgetting on us yesterday.
Okay.
You made up for
I'll have
it.
More
I
tomorrow.
That. Will you?
Yeah, we'll figure out something.
All right, we'll do something. I'm excited. Oh, yeah, we're going to your house tomorrow.
My place tomorrow.
That's exciting. That'll be fun. By the way, as we're sitting here, I showed Bill I went and bought some new golf balls. Will you hit me up on Twitter, @Husker_Nick, @ESPNHooksy. He's making fun of me because I bought bright orange golf balls. I need those. I don't know where the ball's going to go, Hooks.
You asked me. He goes, are these good balls? And I said, yeah, but you can see them.
Yes. They'll be easier to find as I'm shooting them around all over the place, not on the fairway. We're going to bring in now a man who I heard is a two.
What?
Robin Washit. Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard he is quite, with HuskerOnline.com, he's quite the golfer from what I hear. What's up, Washit?
You need to check your sources, son.
Word is that you can swing the clubs. You're a stick.
So I can hit the ball really hard off the tee.
Uh-huh.
But where it goes, that's kind of it's a completely different story. So if you need me just to, like, smash a driver somewhere, I can do that.
Okay. All right.
But when it comes to any sort of, like, skill, like layups or putting or anything like that, that's usually when clubs get thrown.
Yeah, I try to tell people when they say, like, describe your golf game, I'm like a bull in a china shop, baby. There is no finesse coming from this guy. I am literally just hitting everything as hard as I can, which most of the time means I miss the ball completely and it rolls 10 feet. Like,
yeah, I'm basically Happy Gilmore before the hockey-style putter.
Oh, nice. Okay, there it is. There it is, talking to Robin Washit. How's everything going at the house, brother?
We're hanging in there. Life as usual, just forgetting what day it is. Usually, my radio interviews help me keep track of where we are on the calendar. So I know today is Wednesday because I'm talking to you. So thanks for keeping me on track.
No problem. I'm still due for coming over for socially distanced beers again in your driveway. I've been waiting for that invite.
It's a continuous 24-hour invite, Nick.
So is it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad there. Have you driven your wife insane yet?
Probably. Yeah, she's doing a good job of not showing it, though. But, you know, I get more and more disappointed glances by the day.
Nice. All right. Well, so what's new with the Huskers? I know there's a kid from Pitt that's transferring Teddy. I thought his name was Kobe something or other. I don't know.
I figured it'd be a Kobe.
Is it a Kobe something is who they're trying to get?
Trey McGowan's. That's
oh, I'm so off. God.
Just say a name.
I throw out a name and let you correct me. That's all right.
Name
no problem.
Like Chris or something?
I don't have a computer in my garage, buddy. This is all just like sitting here trying to think of this stuff off the top of my head, all right? And I assume I have a good shot if I say, are they trying to get a transfer named Kobe? Because I feel like they've been on that block for a while.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any new Kobes hitting the transfer portal yet, but I'm sure there'll be some. And Nebraska will be involved.
Okay. All right, so tell me about Trey.
Yeah. Trey McGowan's, he's a just finished up his sophomore year at Pitt and decided to transfer despite like starting 63 of his 66 career games. He'd averaged over 11 points per game over the past two seasons and really was kind of your do-it-all point guard for the Panthers. But, I think I interviewed him over the weekend and, basically what kind of said was Pitt's style of play wasn't necessarily conducive to taking his game to the next level. You look at adjusted tempo, they rated like 308th out of 353 Division I teams. And so they were a slow, methodical type of offense that you know, Trey McGowan's is a playmaker, and he needs to get the ball in his hands and just let him go. And so he decided to look for somewhere else. And, you know, from a stylistic standpoint, Nebraska fits the bill as well as anyone, because that's exactly what Fred Hoiberg wants his players to do, especially his point guards. But what really put it over the top was a pre-existing relationship, a very strong one at that, with Matt Abdelmassi, who was the lead recruiter at St. John's, who recruited Trey heavily out of high school. In fact, most people thought that St. John's was number two on his final list before committing to Pittsburgh back in 2018. So that relationship kind of let Nebraska hit the ground running. As soon as his name hit the portal, Nebraska was on the phone calling them, and things have progressed pretty nicely to where on Monday, Trey cut his list to eight, and Nebraska was the first school listed. So, you know, we'll kind of see what happens. It's hard not being able to take visits or do any in-person recruiting, but that's where Nebraska has a leg up on a lot of other schools. The fact that Trey and his family, they know Matt and they trust Matt because they've known him for several years. And so that familiarity could be as valuable of an asset as anything. Not just in this case, but really in all recruiting right now, with the current state of the world, it's not about necessarily being able to showcase fancy buildings and all your resources. It's about where does the player feel comfortable, and you know, do you have that trust factor? And I think that's a big selling point in every case, but especially with Trey McGowan's, to where, you know, I would probably consider Nebraska the favorite right now. So we'll see kind of what happens over the next week or so. But I think Nebraska's in a very good spot to get Trey. And right now he would be a sit-out transfer, okay, assuming that one-time transfer rule doesn't pass this offseason. So the plan is to stash him for a year. And then when Kobe Webster leaves, you have a very competent player to step in right away, kind of the plan with Nebraska's recruiting.
Hey, Robin, you made a good point there about the relationship side, and obviously it's a different world right now in the recruiting side and everybody's world. What are you hearing on how these coaches are staying connected with recruits right now? Because obviously you get those calls and say, hey, whoever, I've got a guy that you already know, here's your connection. On the other side of the incoming people or the ones they're looking at maybe for next year or so on, what are you hearing on how they're staying connected with those kids?
Well, Nebraska is actually in a pretty good spot, relatively, considering that, you know, they've always relied on transfers, you know, mm-hmm, as much as anyone. And with transfers, you don't need the visits are important, but they're not as important, if you know what I mean. Like, mm-hmm, you know, the high school kids, especially top level ones, you know, they want to get the red carpet treatment and, you know, mm-hmm, see all the fancy facilities and locker rooms and big screens and pool tables and heated toilet seats and all that stuff. Whereas a transfer, you know, they've been through the process before, and they have a much more clear idea of what's truly important to them as they try to find their next school. And, you know, relationships are obviously a big part of that, but also it's where can, one, I play right away and make an immediate impact, and two, where can I get developed to take my game to the next level? Because this is my last shot. I need to make myself as close to an NBA prospect as possible. Where is the best situation to allow me to do that? And so you combine, you know, Nebraska's, you know, this staff's history and track record with transfers, the ability, the kind of the way that they stagger their classes to where, you know, a sit-out guy, you look ahead to the 2021-22 season, you know, there's going to be opportunity there. And, you know, obviously with Fred's history of putting guys in the league, I mean, what he did at Iowa State still carries a lot of weight. And, you know, that hits home as much as anything. So, you know, with as difficult as it is not to get kids on campus, not being able to go make in-home visits and do all that stuff, I think Nebraska is still doing okay because the large part of what they want to convey to recruits is still very much doable over the phone, over FaceTime. And maybe the best thing is this whole coronavirus thing has introduced the virtual visit. I've literally seen tweets about guys, he's taken a virtual visit to Kansas and right, Kentucky. And it's like,
how does that work with your officials? Does that not matter?
I mean, it's basically just, I don't know. It's something they just termed like he FaceTimed a coach, right, or something like that. So okay, like what they do is,
because you can send guys videos before, yeah, all this of your facilities and stuff, right?
Yeah, so basically what this is an extended FaceTime to where, sure, you know, they send you a ton of information, you know, videos and all that stuff. But, you know, you go around and you meet with you FaceTime with the coaches, you FaceTime with the academics and, you know, all that. Like, basically all the people that you would see and meet on a visit, you do over FaceTime. And so that is what a virtual visit essentially means, you know, basically doing all the things via technology that you would normally in person on a normal visit.
In my heart, I see the coach walking around with a selfie stick, and he's like talking to him while walking around the facility, like, "Hey, everybody, wave at our guy Trey over here."
You know what it is? It's the college version of Cribs, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
Cribs.
Yeah, in TV
exactly.
Cribs. This is who we are. That's a lot of fun. Earlier in the week, Robin, and this applies to basketball along with football, but earlier in the week we were talking on the show a little bit about the aspect of right now you have a semester that in some parts of the country their grades are being wiped out. Now they might get a pass, basically, like a pass-fail situation. You might get whatever your grade's at the time is what you get. I have no idea. But how do you expect that to impact basketball recruiting and players that are eligible to play right away as opposed to going the junior college route in just both basketball and football? How do you see that impacting that?
Well, as the rules stand right now, it'll have a major impact because guys that were counting on getting letter grades in classes won't get those letter grades. And in a lot of cases, they need those letter grades to get their required GPA to become NCAA eligible. And so, I mean, what do you do when a guy literally like needs a B plus in the class and all of a sudden that class is turned from a letter grade to a pass fail? He's ineligible because he can't get that letter grade. And right. So what you're going to see is
the NCAA. That's
yeah,
what you do.
Well, and people will. If the NCAA says, you know, because of this global pandemic, you're going to tell me I can't go to college? Like, I mean, that is a disaster waiting to happen. So what you're going to see is basically this recruiting cycle and, you know, this year just be the year of the waiver where the NCAA is going to just give those things out like candy and say, you know, if you can just give us some sort of a competent case as to why you're unable to meet your requirements, you know, we're going to give you a pass on it because, I mean, this is, like I said, unprecedented territory in the world of, you know, college recruiting that, I mean, to sit there and try to hold kids to the letter of the law, I mean, it makes no sense when you're setting yourself up for a disaster. Now, the other end of that, there's going to be coaches that take full advantage of that and probably, you know, go beyond the intended good nature of those waivers and try to get guys that should not be going to college and don't have nearly the grades, but they're going to formulate their waiver appeal in a way that makes it seem better than it is. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of guys that, like I said, would have no chance at playing high major basketball or Power 5 football that are going to get a pass. And so, you know, that's kind of the other end of it. You know, it's human nature. People are going to exploit any wiggle room you give them.
I'm 100%
in. It's a necessary sacrifice.
Yes.
Because right now, you know, there are kids that need to get a ACT score or an SAT score to become eligible, and they can't take it. I mean, you literally cannot take a standardized test because they're not being provided. And so, I mean, that's of zero fault to the kid. And for the NCAA to say, well, you don't have the ACT score, so sorry, you can't play, you can't go to school.
Let me
You're
ask
have to
you.
Sit around for a year and work, and you know who knows what'll happen. I mean, that's you sacrifice guys or schools being able to slip total non-qualifiers in for the good of the guys that are deserving of those types of waivers.
Now, let me ask you this, because Nebraska is a place that is known for the help that they give athletes and the ability also to get guys qualified and get them in. I mean, our football program is one of those places where a guy might not qualify to go to Notre Dame, might not qualify to go to pick another Power 5 school, but we've found ways to get people into our university. And then I will credit them. We have a great infrastructure for our players. How much of an advantage do you think that could be that Nebraska's name is attached to said individual as opposed to, I don't know, Ohio State or pick some random school that may not be thought of as well?
Okay, say that one more time.
Basically, Nebraska does a really nice job of having tutors and facilities for their student
right.
athletes.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do a good job support. With their GPA in both basketball yeah. and football.
Yes. So, yeah, yeah. I mean, Nebraska, I mean, that's always been
Should
one of
be
their
an
top
advantage,
selling
right?
points. Yeah, I mean, the Dennis LeBlanc and his team do as good of a job as anyone in the country in helping student athletes that, you know, might have some academic issues not only get through those issues, but a lot of times thrive because they're, you know, given the resources they've never had before, and suddenly, you know, all those things make sense, and you're able to teach in a way that they've never been taught. And so, I mean that value, you know, I mean, all these recruiting updates I do, obviously that's big for, you know, a lot of players, but more importantly, it's big for parents. You know, parents see that, you know, that's like sometimes the most important part of the visit, and they see that, you know, not only are we going to give the opportunity to be a great player, but you're going to become a student, and you're going to get a degree, and you're going to do well and learn and become a better person from your time at Nebraska. And so being able to pair that with, you know, kids that maybe wouldn't normally get that opportunity, I think that's going to be a big advantage for Nebraska because a lot of schools don't have the academic resources and put as much of a priority on academics as Nebraska does.
Hey, Robin, also something that came to light this week, and the NCAA waved their, excuse me, their little magic wand on all the spring sports athletes out there that missed a season. Give me your thoughts on that, because on the surface it looks really good for these athletes that might decide to come back if you're a seniors or you're a junior. You know, whatever you are today is what you are tomorrow, essentially. Give me your thoughts on that and maybe some of the shortcomings of what could happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be difficult. I mean, just to manage rosters, because you're going to have to increase your roster size, and then there's a lot of financial repercussions that come from that when suddenly you have five classes of of a roster. I mean, that, you know, there's a lot of money that needs to go around. There's a lot of you know, food and housing and all that stuff that goes to just having more student athletes within an athletic department. So, you know, I think there's going to be some wrinkles that still need to be ironed out with that, but I think it's something they had to do. You can't just say that, well, sorry, senior, you put in 3 to 4 years of hard work, right, blood, sweat, and tears, and now all of a sudden, you know, tough luck, you can't play anymore. I mean, it's a small sacrifice, especially with spring sports. Football, basketball, you know, those big-time sports, mm-hmm, they're a different story, I think, because there's a lot more money involved. There's a lot more politics involved. And so, you know, I think that the fact that it is spring, you know, they're not going to do it for winter to make up the March Madness or anything like that, but spring makes it easier just because, you know, it's a little bit more low profile, and you can wiggle around the numbers a little bit easier with that. Sports just aren't as expensive. So, you know, I think that was good on the NCAA for doing that. But again, I think that there's going to have to be some adjustments made as they go with how exactly logistically, financially, they're going to figure this stuff out with that many more student athletes on campus, especially with athletic departments that don't have nearly the budget Nebraska does.
Yeah, man, there's a few things, though, that I'm curious about. Did you see, and I didn't see this, so I'm just curious if you saw anything, but like a player that was supposed to sit out this year, are they now eligible next year? So that counts? Like this year counts still? Or how that works? I have no idea.
I would think so. I mean, I think it's probably only eligible years apply. Like if it's a sit out year, then, you know, you sat out. So
yeah,
dude, we'll see.
Bolt needs to go out and bring in about 4 or 5 extra pitchers, and we'll just go two innings at a time with everybody, and just fly through this baby. It'd be outstanding, I think. How when you look at recruiting just in general with this whole thing going on, obviously AAU is a big deal for basketball recruiting. How much does it hurt recruiting for the next class, or do you kind of have a good idea of who's good, who's not, who big time recruits are, who aren't? Who's hurt by this whole thing?
Well, the student athletes, you know, coaches can figure it out. You know, like they have opportunities to see players, and sure, you know, it's not so much about scouting at AAU, especially the UIBL circuits and the mm-hmm, Adidas circuits and stuff like that, because a lot of those guys are known commodities. More so, it's being able to wear, you know, your team's quarter zip, sitting courtside at their game, to know that you're very interested in it. So, you know, that's a loss for the school. But where it really is going to hurt is the lower tier tournaments, where guys aren't known. And, you know, if you got kids that, you know, are late bloomers that, you know, don't have the profile of some of the other players out there that suddenly don't get that opportunity for exposure. And so that's probably the biggest consequence of all this is, you know, just not providing that opportunity for guys that, you know, like look back to last year, like Max Merle from Millard North. I mean, he was a no-star, no-offer guy that had a huge spring and summer on the AAU circuit, and suddenly he picks up like 12 D1 offers in the span of a couple weeks in July. I mean, that opportunity might be gone now, where for guys that, you know, nobody knows about that suddenly get good, you know, they just don't have that chance. So that's, I think that's the biggest consequence of not only a condensed AAU season, but, I mean, there's a realistic scenario here that the season will be canceled altogether, and that would be detrimental to a lot of kids that, you know, that's why the AAU season is in place for the most part.
Talking to Robin Wash at HuskerOnline.com. Robin, we kicked off the show talking about a tweet. I want to say it was Albert Breer who put this out, that he was talking to some high-ranking officials with the NFL and was asking them about what they're going to do in terms of alternate sites for games, what are they preparing for. And he said, according to their plugged-in group that they are talking to, that the NFL is expecting to be able to have their season go off without a hitch. It should be fine by the time we get there. What's your reaction to that?
It's optimistic. I mean, it's obviously what I want to hear. I want the NFL season to go as planned, but, you know, I mean, I think that that's, you know, where their mindset is now, but as we've seen, things can change dramatically very quickly, and, you know, there's going to be a lot left to be seen about what goes on between now and September, and then, you know, there's just a lot of other things that go involved. It's not like you can just roll the ball out and play football. I mean, there's mini camps and, you know, guys are adjusting to new teams. Like, I just read a story, you know, Giants got Blake Martinez, linebacker from the Packers. Like, he's in California right now, and they basically just sent him a playbook and said, learn what you can. And so, I mean, you know, you got highly trained professional players, but still there's an acclimation period of adjusting to your new surroundings, learning your teammates, and, you know, especially given the positions, you know, some real leadership and cohesiveness that needs to be developed that might be extremely condensed going into your first game. So the fact that they're counting on a full, you know, non-impacted season, that's great. But, you know, I think that there's still plenty that needs to shake out before that actually becomes a reality.
What are you watching right now?
Like, in general?
Yeah, what's your go-to? But,
yeah,
when you're not on the radio.
Just finished up Tiger King.
And how great was that?
Yeah, that was, man, that's weird.
Did you know there's a parody of that thing called Nick Exotic Chicken King?
That's what I'm talking about. Nick Exotic and the Chicken King.
Yeah, it's like they just combined me and Bill, and we are Nick Exotic Chicken King. Like, we're like, when our powers combined, we're Captain Planet, but in this case, it's Nick Exotic Chicken King.
Well, then, who's Carol Baskin?
Carol Baskin. Who is Carol Baskin? Who's our Carol Baskins? Do we know who that is?
I'm not going there.
You don't want to go there? Bill doesn't want to get in trouble. He doesn't want to get in trouble. You can be our Affliction Jeff if you want.
Oh, yeah, you could.
I'm trying to think of who the coolest guy on that show is.
Oh, it's the long-haired zookeeper. 100%.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't give a F.
That was awesome. The best part of the whole series, and there's a lot of great ones, is when they're asking why Joe hates Carol Baskin so much, and they're each giving their opinions, and then it goes to him, and he goes, I don't give an F. it's only answer.
I don't give a F.
Just awesome. And the fact that they left that in the documentary makes it even better. Like, that was genius directing right there.
Yeah,
what was your biggest takeaway from the series? What was your, give me like your top couple memorable moments in the series?
Okay. Well, the the wedding was great. I mean, that whole scene was pretty remarkable.
Oh, yeah.
When he almost gets mauled by the
Tiger, and then nobody helps him.
Yeah.
You know?
Someone put perfume. How about the fact that he says someone put perfume on his feet? And then they go to Carol Baskins, and she's incredibly specific on how you would get a tiger to eat somebody if you were going to try to get someone eaten by a tiger.
They would only do this. You have to put this type of oil.
Yeah, like cod oil or something. Specific, very specific oil. Not that I've ever done this before.
Oh, that Carol Baskin. I don't trust her as far as I could throw. And then the last one, like the suicide scene. Man, that was intense.
Oh my God, that was crazy.
Like, yeah, I was just like jaw dropped watching the stream when I was doing that. So
we're hitting episode 6 coming up next hour. We'll be talking about episode 6 is where we're at on the show. And so yesterday we talked about 5, which is when he shoots himself. Mm-hmm. And somehow that was not crazy that's how that ended. As sad as it is for that individual, just from the way that you hear how crazy he was.
Yeah, well, basically he was just like messed out and living on that zoo with like nothing to do at all. So yeah.
How about both
and
of Joe's
he's
husbands?
Married to
were
a
just...
man, even though he's not gay.
Yeah, he was. Like, Yeah, he's like sleeping with every woman there.
Yeah.
Underneath Joe's
what a life,
nose.
Man. Just messed out.
What about at his funeral? At his funeral when Joe's like, I miss his testicles. You guys have all seen his balls. You guys know what I'm talking about. He just come up and put them right on your forehead. And y'all just miss it. You know, y'all seen it. Anybody who knew him has seen those balls. They were glorious. And I was like, what are you doing?
God.
Did you hear he doesn't sing those songs?
Yes, I was actually just about to say that. It's like he like just sings softly over somebody else's song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a Tiger King.
He's
a good song.
He's a Tiger King. I know.
I saw a tiger and Tiger saw a man for like the last week.
Oh, dude, if this celebrity softball game happens, I'm walking out to I Saw a Tiger. That's going to be my walk-up music. 110%. How about, real quick, in this episode we're about to break down, he decides he's got to get out of there because the FBI is coming. He doesn't like Affliction Jeff, all this stuff. But if you realize, he stopped and took the time to write a song, sing it, and also make a music video to put out to his people before he left.
Oh, yeah.
Swan song.
Yeah.
Like, I like that.
That's
he's like, I might get thrown in prison. I'm going to take a little time to make this video for the people.
You need it, because the people need it.
Yes. Would you have been 1 out of 5 people in Oklahoma to vote for him to be governor?
If I lived in Oklahoma, yes, absolutely.
I still can't get over episode 5 and the fact that, we heard earlier in the series about the way he got the meat right off the truck from the spoiled meat.
Oh.
The fact that in episode 5 he opened up a pizza joint on the grounds with the meat. That's
he's
my favorite.
Expired hot dogs and stuff for his pizza topping.
Oh, my God. And then we haven't even got to Doc Antle yet.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see his harem? Oh, yeah. Did you see the photos online of him and Britney Spears?
No.
Yeah, remember the Britney Spears? I know you know this because you're 36, so you'll remember this. When she had the yellow snake on the MTV Awards?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a person in the background holding a tiger. It's Doc Antle. He tried. He shot his shot to get her to be part of his group.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
Yeah, no question. That dude's like creep level 11.
Like, oh, yeah. He's like, girl, I got a ponytail and a soul patch. Let's go.
And I got a bunch of big houses for you to stay in.
I got some kitty cats.
How about pushing Jeff just like rolling to Vegas with just a suitcase full of tigers?
Well, that's how Affliction Bill Hooks does, too, though. Don't forget.
He just goes to the grapevine with a suitcase full of tigers.
Yeah, there you go.
Boy, you gave me an idea.
That is a good idea. Hey, Washington, man, I appreciate the time. And I might just show up to your house with a case of beer and stand in your driveway, like, and say anything and just see how long it takes you to come out. I'll stand out there and I'll be like, I saw a tiger.
Can you please not do it during nap time for Mr. Watch, though, please?
That's true. I don't want Gambit to wake up yelling.
Yeah, that's right, Gambit.
That's right. You named your son Remy.
Took me a minute to process that, but yeah, no, I like it.
I will call him Gambit from here on out.
I'll call him Gambit.
Heck yeah, dude. He's one of the coolest X-Men. Don't mix my words. He's awesome.
Maybe that'll be his first Halloween costume.
Oh, I hope so. Baby.
I hope so.
Do you think do you think they sell baby Gambit outfits?
I know we can make one.
Google.
We can make one. That's
we
for
can
sure.
make one?
Oh, I'll make one.
You're going to go down in the man cave in the sewing machine or what?
I'll make it happen. However I got to do it, I'll make it happen. You guys, I'll make it happen.
Quarantine is getting a Nick.
Yeah, it is. Slowly but surely.
He's going to make us all an outfit here shortly.
I mean, I'm going golfing today, so it tells you how desperate
gonna
I am
make
right
us matching,
now.
So he's going to make the matching sweaters that we can all wear every time we hang out.
Yeah, the good thing about yours is yours would be sleeveless, so it'd be less work.
Well, so will mine. Come on.
No.
Me and Washington go sleeveless all the time. We're bros. All right, Washit. Yeah. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Robin.
See you, boys.
Yep, Robin Washit, HuskerOnline.com. That is our weekly crazy interview with Robin. By the way, though, when we all hang out, this is exactly what it sounds like. I just want to stress that to everybody. Like, this is nothing different than what it is just hanging out.
No, it's a conversation between bros.
Yeah, just hanging out. He's such a good guy, man. The basketball stuff he was talking about with Abdul Massi is going to be huge. Huge for Nebraska. And I believe it or not, and I know we've talked about it on the show quite a few times, it sounds cold, but it's a cold world. Nebraska has the resources to take advantage of this time, which is, I promise you, exactly what they're going to do. Like, I promise you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also another great point that he made is the way that Nebraska depends on transfers right now with Coach Hoiberg. That's a big deal as well.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Hour number two on the way. We'll get to episode six of The Tiger King. We've also got our interview with Jameson and what's trending at 10. All of that coming up.